Fighting 80,
Wednesday, June 29th, 2011.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Wild Card Wednesday where anything goes. And this week, what's going is food. I was inspired by emails from some mainland friends looking for suggestions about local food. And I was also inspired by the Sporkful podcast, which is hosted by our friends Dan Pashman and Mark Garrison.
Right. We love the Sporkful. And of course, you hear Dan Pashman's talents at the beginning and end of every podcast. So a food podcast was certainly overdue. What's the topic, though, for food?
Local foods.
Hawaii food.
Yeah. I'm not going to make a list. I'm not going to call it a top five, because it's hard for me to choose a favorite. But these are the five foods that I ate here in Hawaii that changed my life, that changed the way I saw food and changed the way I enjoyed eating.
Well, as a matter of background, you're not from Hawaii, are you?
No, I was born and raised in a very small town in Florida where exotic meant Uncle Ben's rice with your meal instead of potatoes. Yeah, and where like your fanciest date happened at the Olive Garden.
The Olive Garden. Well, we don't even have an Olive Garden here. But I hear what you're saying. It's a wasteland. It's where Taco Bell is the highest achievement of Mexican food.
Right.
Well, to be fair, there were some things in Florida that I had never had there's nothing like that here, like barbecue.
I loved
barbecue, but that's a completely different show. Maybe the shows you miss about the mainland. For today, our focus is food in Hawaii that changed your life. Let's get started.
First on the list is oyster sauce chicken cake noodle.
Chinese.
And you know, you're thinking cake, noodle. Somehow those five words don't really go together, but they do.
They sound delicious together to me, but for the uninitiated, what is oyster sauce chicken? What is cake noodle?
Well, cake noodle are Chinese noodles that are pressed into a cake and fried so that the outside is crunchy, and especially the end bits have a very crunchy texture. And on top of this cake noodle is oyster sauce chicken, which is kind of a crispy skinned hacked up Chinese style chicken that's bathed in oyster sauce, which it's kind of a salty seafoody kind of taste.
Right. It's a big gooey pile of chopped up chicken bathed in this kind of fish sauce, this dark sweet but mostly salty sauce. There's also usually vegetables on it or green leafy choy sum.
The traditional accompaniment is choy sum, and its closest cousin is spinach, actually.
Right. But it's the cake noodle, I agree, that makes this a magical dish. Even when a Chinese restaurant doesn't have it on their menu, they know how to make it. And I agree, there's just something magical about those cake noodles, the way they make it. It is essentially Chinese noodles, or even you could see ramen noodles squished together and fried till they're hard and crunchy. But it is soft, and it does fall apart into noodles as you get into it. But it is that crunch. It is that combination. I can't get enough of it. I mean, literally, I can't get enough of it when we go to a Chinese restaurant. It's mayhem.
Our kids eat it all. They just inhale it.
We're fighting over it.
We have to fight over the cake noodles with our kids.
How did you come to discover this dish? I mean, how did it make this list?
Well, Thanksgiving weekend, 1993, my friend Jamie, who now lives in Oregon, invited a bunch of her girlfriends to see Phantom of the Opera with her family here in Honolulu. And on the very last day of our trip, her dad took us all to this place called New World on Kapuhulu. It's no longer there, but he took us and he ordered just a bunch of different things, and I had never had authentic Chinese food with an authentic Chinese family before. So when he ordered oyster sauce chicken cake noodle, I'm kind of wondering, what does cake have to do with noodles? And then he serves me some, and it's crunchy and it's salty and it's a lot of different things, and I dip the cake noodle in the hot mustard and shoyu, and it was just a revelation. I had never had anything that tasted remotely like it, and I never forgot
it. Well, I like how you said with an authentic Chinese family. It's not the Chinese food that you get in the little boxes anywhere else. It's not orange chicken or lemon chicken or shrimp canton with the
atomic
nuclear sauce.
Yeah.
I mean, so this is the real stuff. I love it. What's next on the menu?
Lomi lomi salmon and poi.
Wow. Well, Hawaiian's got to be on the list. I think poi might be a tougher sell, but what's lomi lomi salmon?
Lomi lomi salmon is very simple. It's salted salmon, tomatoes, and onions, served cold, like in a salad. And I think a lot of people consider it more of a condiment or side dish. But what I do is I just, when I'm eating Hawaiian food, is I just take my entire container of lomi salmon and dump it into my poi.
Well, it's a fantastic flavor combination in a specific way, because lomi lomi salmon is very salty. I mean, they don't give you much more than a few ounces. It is, to me, a side, but when you combine it with poi, which is essentially the opposite of flavor, it's a fantastic combination. Now, how did you, a Florida girl, come to love poi? I mean, your mom, when she comes, she won't come anywhere near it. How did you come to love poi?
Well, your mom used to get the fundraiser tickets for the Hawaiian dinners, and it included poi and lomi salmon. And I had never really tried poi. I was a little afraid of it because it has such a bad rap amongst mainland people. And so I don't know where I got the bright idea to stick them together. I think I started with dipping my kalua pork in the poi. Mm. And to me, you know, they're both salty. Both kalua pork and lomi salmon are salty. So I thought, well, lomi is very salty. Maybe the contrast would be even greater.
And it is. I agree. I love it. Now, poi, as you said, kind of gets a bad rap, but it's not complicated. It is also very simple.
It comes from a plant, a certain part of a plant called a corm. And I believe the corm produces starch. But anyway, it's ground up and cooked and mixed with water until it's a very certain sticky consistency.
Sticky is a good word. A lot of people compare it to, I don't know, paste. and it is purple. It's not the most attractive food, but it was the sustenance for Hawaiians for centuries. It was used as in place of milk for babies when you couldn't have milk. So it's a key part of our culture, and it is great with lomi lomi salmon. Well, what's next?
A little bit of Vietnamese. It's the traditional noodle soup called pho.
Ah, pho. You crave pho all the time.
Now, I even eat it when it's hot outside.
Yeah, see, I can't do that. Pho is perfect when it's cold or rainy, but I don't know if I can eat it on a summer day. But pho, also known as pho, it's spelled P-H-O and with a weird squiggly hat on the O. But yeah, it's a very simple noodle broth, but it's what you get in it that makes it magical.
You can get chicken pho. You can get all kinds of pho.
Seafood, vegetable, right.
But my specific choice at a pho restaurant is the combination beef with the steak outside.
Steak outside meaning what exactly?
A plate of raw meat right in front of you, sliced very, very thin, so that you can put it into your hot broth and cook it to the doneness that you desire, which for me is mooing.
Yes, still red, still pink. I love it. And of course, combination beef, that's basically any combination of beef that the restaurant can think to throw in there. And there's some really interesting things in combination beef pho.
Anthony Bourdain often says that the best cuisine comes from hardship. It comes from having to eat really undesirable bits and having it be delicious through really careful treatment. Well, pho to me is the epitome of this. It's tendon, it's brisket, it's those little meatballs.
Ah, the mystery meatballs. I don't even know what they are, and I've been eating this stuff for years. In fact, when people sit down with me and ask what it is, I say, I don't think we really want to know. They're rubbery. They're very weird texture. They probably bounce when you drop them. They're that weird shade of gray, but they're an important part of what goes into pho, and that's not all.
But they're delicious, and and there's also tripe, and if you don't know what tripe is, maybe you should Google it.
Yeah, I don't know if that would encourage anyone to eat it. You were kind of resistant when I tried to get you to try tripe.
I was very afraid of it, but I know that it's a big component in a lot of local dishes. So I went ahead and I tried it, and the texture is very different from everything else that's in the bowl. That's what pho is to me, a symphony of textures and contrasts.
Right, and it's a very simple dish before you add all of this other stuff, and some of this other stuff, it's a healthy dish because vegetables play a part as well.
No matter where you go, you get the same plate of stuff along with your pho. You get basil, you get cilantro, you get lemons and jalapenos and bean sprouts, and I like mine with the cilantro, the lemons, and the jalapenos.
Right, and because I'm a person who does not like anything healthy, I don't touch any of that stuff. I certainly stay away from the cilantro. I can't handle cilantro, but overall, a great comfort meal, a very healthy, not a heavy meal. You know, it doesn't weigh you down. It just tastes really fresh wherever you go, even with all these mysterious meat products in it. I love it. What's next?
Kalbi.
Kalbi, Korean short ribs. And if anybody doesn't know, you love Kalbi so much. If you aren't Mrs. Hawaii on any service, you are Kalbi Queen.
Kalbi Queen. Yes, I love to eat it. I love to cook it. It's so ridiculously easy to make. Basically, it's the fattiest part of the ribs from the cow. It's cut up perpendicular so that you in each strip of Kalbi, there are little pieces of bone and you get to gnaw around the bone.
Oh, yes.
That's my favorite part. But it's the ribs are cooked in a very sweet shoyu based sauce, and it's reduced, and so when the sugar in the sauce burns, it's got that whole caramelly kind of bitter but very sweet flavor. And kalbi is a very integral part of plate lunches here in Hawaii.
Definitely.
Like if you go to L&L or Rainbow Drive-In, you can get kalbi.
Yeah, it's whether it's chicken katsu or teriyaki chicken, kalbi is on the short list of must-haves if you're going to run a local restaurant here. And first we would go out and find it where we liked it, but as you mentioned, you've gotten really good, despite being a girl from Florida, at making kalbi.
It's very simple. It's shoyu, brown sugar, ginger, garlic, sesame oil, green onion, and some kind of fruit juice. The traditional choice is Korean pear, but I have used pineapple. And you just put all of the preceding things except for the sesame oil in a pot, and you boil it down to a really thick, reduced state. And then you put in your sesame oil, and then you put your ribs in it. You let it sit there for a couple days. You take the ribs out. You grill it. Pow, you're done.
It's simple. It's delicious. It's got little bits of bone to gnaw. As you mentioned, it's strongly flavored. It's wonderful. That is kalbi. What's not to love? And what's the last food you love on your list?
Sushi.
Ah, yes. Sushi, Japanese, a pretty broad category, but why sushi?
Sushi is the food that made me fearless. It opened the door to all the local food here that I was previously scared of. And, you know, somebody who grows up in the middle of Florida doesn't know from raw fish. I didn't know exactly what to expect. And I was afraid to admit that I didn't know what to expect. And on one of our very first dates, Ryan brought me to Restaurant Miwa in Hilo, and he got me some really good sushi.
It was.
But I was afraid of it. And so I ended up drowning the first couple of pieces in shoyu.
Yeah, it was a little shocking because it's a very finely handcrafted pieces
very
of sushi
delicate.
Rice, a little bit of that vinegar, very delicate with maybe shrimp on top and maybe some ahi on there. And they put the plate in front of you and you grab the shoyu, the soy sauce, and just you put so much on it that the rice disintegrates into porridge and you just sort of pick at the thing that was on the top of it. I'm like, what are you doing? It took a while for you to come around, but I gotta admit, now you're a sushi monster.
I am. We kind of have sushi almost every week. We go to this place called Genki Sushi, which is like, it's fast food sushi.
Conveyor belt sushi.
And I enjoy that. I really do like sushi, but I especially like it in a more formal Japanese restaurant kind of setting.
Right. In fact, Hawaii's most popular, most famous sushi restaurant is Sushi Sasabune. It's home of the sushi Nazi, as he's described, where if you make the mistake of ordering a California roll
God
or
help
any
you.
Other non-actual Japanese sushi, you're out on your bum. And it's really good stuff. It can get really fancy. It can get really expensive. It can get very serious like that. But it's everywhere. And I love that there is such a thing as fast food sushi. And at Genki Sushi and the conveyor belt, what are your favorite varieties to kind of come down the line?
Well, the ahi for sure, and the hamachi, which are both raw, by
yes,
the way.
Yes.
It's raw fish. I also enjoy ikura, which are fish eggs.
Right.
And
they're kind of the bigger ones. And
right,
our daughter likes tobiko, which is the very, very small, little, tiny fish eggs altogether.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Ikageso, which are little, tiny, baby octopus with the legs and everything
the
still attached.
Suckers. I love it. Another favorite of our family has to be ahi poke, which is kind of a fusion. It's Hawaiian poke, which is cubed ahi, raw ahi with seasoning and salt, Hawaiian salt, but yes, wrapped with the nori on the little sushi rice there. And you really like the green bean tempura.
Right. I mean, you're not going to go to Japan and find green bean tempura on sushi, but because we are in Hawaii and there's such a inspiration from so many different ethnic groups and such a willingness to experiment, it really works. It's green bean tempura on the rice, and I really enjoy it a lot.
And the other varieties of fish, salmon, the raw salmon is good.
Yeah.
They it comes with a little bit of lemon wedge. Wow, this is just really going to be hungry. You got taco, you got the octopus, you got just about anything that you can think of to put on there. And there's even Spam. Do you like the Spam sushi they do?
I don't do Spam, but that's another show.
That's an entirely different show. And I have to say, though, that the only reason why Jen has not yet received her official local Hawaii card is because she doesn't eat Spam.
Like I said, that's another show.
Okay, yes. We'll get to that if your therapist doesn't first. All right, well, five fantastic foods here in Hawaii. Let's run through them again, and perhaps you can tell folks where you would go to try them if they visited the island.
I would send you to get oyster sauce chicken cake noodle at Ken Fong in Chinatown, even though they're incredibly rude.
Well, they're kind of angry, but I personally feel that, you know, the little hole in the wall with a very angry Chinese woman, you know it's got to be good, because if it was rude and bad food, it wouldn't last. So people are willing to put up with it, there's got to be something going on. I agree with that recommendation.
I would get Lomi Lomi Salmon and Poi from Highway Inn in Waipahu, or Haili's in Honolulu, actually where New World Cuisine used to be.
Right. Haili's is great because it's close to Waikiki. Highway Inn is my favorite, but it's way out in the middle of Waipahu near the center of the island in a former plantation town. Very dusty strip mall. Hard to believe that it's there, but it's a great hidden gem. I take people who visit there all the time. And we have to mention Helena's in Kalihi.
I've never been there.
Yeah, we have to take you there. In fact, it's criminal that I haven't taken you there, because that's perhaps the most famous Hawaiian food joint. Helen Chalk, unfortunately, she passed a few years ago, but the restaurant won a James Beard Award, the International Award for Great Cuisine, so you certainly can't miss that one.
For pho, I would recommend either Pho Saigon by All in Moana Shopping Center or Pho 97 in Chinatown.
Now, there's a pho restaurant on every corner in Chinatown. There's even a famous one on River Street where people line up like 12 deep to get in there. But to me, pho is beautiful in its simplicity, so I don't necessarily need something complex or famous. I just want it there. So you can get a lot of great pho. I should mention there's a restaurant here in Wahiwa, close to where we live, that we end up when you want pho on a rainy day. And you've got Pho Saigon, you've got Pho One, and this restaurant is called Pho King. You know, the King of Pho. It's a great name for a restaurant. All right, where would you go to get Kalbi?
Gina's in Kaimuki in the Market City Shopping Center.
That's a really good one. But again, any good Korean restaurant suffices you. I would go to Soda Bowl, again on Keomoku.
Yeah, Soda Bowl is good.
But they actually cut the rib a little differently, so you get a different cut of the meat. But their sauce is fantastic. But any L&L will do for Kalbi. And finally, where would you go for good sushi?
Like we mentioned, Sushi Sasabune, which it's expensive and it's a little intimidating if you've never been there before, but I would still highly recommend it. There's also a place called Restaurant Kunio in the Waikele Outlet Mall.
Yeah, it's the outlet mall here in the central Oahu, but it's a great, great sushi place there. In town, I would go with perhaps Yohei, which is in Kalihi. There's also Yanagi on Kapi'olani Boulevard, and actually the list could go on and on. There's good sushi all over the island, over Hawaii.
And if you're really desperate, I mean, Genki Sushi is a very good option, especially if you're a little scared, because there are picture menus.
Right, there's picture menus, and as we mentioned, they mix it up there. They put all sorts of things on sushi rice, so if there's some weird Japanese concoction you're not interested in, it could be as simple as Spam. It could be as simple as teriyaki chicken, so that's certainly a great option. Well, this has been a delicious, delicious episode of Wildcard Wednesday here on Pop Spotting, but we want to know what you'd like us to talk about.
Whether you've got music to recommend, a book we should read, or a website we should check out, we really want to hear about it.
Your feedback is what keeps us going, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on this or any other topic we cover here on Pop Spotting. You can leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net, drop us a line at feedback@popspotting.net, or leave a message on the voicemail line at 815-310-0808.
You can also connect with us at facebook.com/popspotting or twitter.com/popspotting.
Tomorrow is Pop Talk and Trivia Thursday, and we're actually returning to North Carolina for a very special guest. A friend of ours is going to join us here to tell us what she's into and then take on Jen's trivia.
Thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and thanks to all of you for listening.
Absolutely. For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen.
Aloha.